We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Yud Zayin. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we had been discussing the halachas of Hanukkah. We're speaking about an Evert Ivri, that's the topic of the previous Mishnah, regarding a Jewish slave. And then, which type of Jewish slaves, when they leave their slavery, do they get what is called Hanukkah, these packages of gifts when they're leaving? So on that, the Gemara quoted a braisa that everyone had agreed that if someone's Bereach, if he flees, he's not the type of an Eved Ivri that gets Hanukkah. Which the question the Gemara had asked was from the braisa that said that why not? A guy who flees has to actually end up coming back to finish up his work anyway. And when he finishes up that work, the 6 years, then he should get the Hanukkah. So that the Gemara answered that it's Toma that the next day after he flees is Yevil, and then he leaves because of Yevil, and he never got a chance to come back. That's why he doesn't get his Hanukkah. But in that braisa, there was another statement which the Gemara now goes back to clarify. Omamar. We said in the braisa, Yachla Falachala, you would think that the same thing applies to someone that's ill. So an Eved Ivri that runs away, so he didn't leave Me'imach, he just ran away, so that he doesn't get Hanukkah. And moreover, he has to come back and finish up his work. Now says the braisa, you would think that even if an Eved Ivri becomes sick, but you didn't work, so you have to make it up even though 6 years have passed, although generally you leave after 6 years, but you have to make it up. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk says, Uva Shviyas Yetze. In the 7th year, you will go out, meaning if it's already the 7th year, you're done. And therefore, although when you flee, you have to come back, if you were sick, okay, you were sick, and therefore you'll go free even though you didn't work. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Afila Chala Kol Sheish, is it true the way it sounds like from the Braisa, even if he was sick all 6 years, he was sold as a slave, he got sick, and he didn't get better since the 6 years were over, and then he leaves, sounds like from the Braisa that he won't have to finish up his work? But Ratanya, learn the Braisa as follows, let's say half of the time, 3 years, he was sick, and the other half, the other 3 years, he worked. Then says that this other braisa, Eina chayav lahashlim. Then he doesn't have to make up for the time. 7th year, he can go free. Chala kol sheish, but says this braisa, if he's sick all 6 years, chayav lahashlim, he has to make it up. That seems to contradict this braisa. They made it sound like, no matter what the circumstances are, if you get sick, you didn't run away, you were sick, okay, but you were there, you're ready to work, and even though you didn't work, you can go free after 6 years. But that's contradicted from this braisa that says if you're sick for all 6 years, you do have to make it up. So Amrav Sheshes, he explains that the first braisa, the one we were quoting from, is talking about Ba'isa Maisa Machat, where the sick slave was doing some needlework, meaning he was doing some sewing. Even when he was sick for all 6 years, where that's something very easy to do, that's what the braisa we had said, that even if he was sick for all 6 years, he's not going to have to make it up, because he ultimately did some work. But you're right, the second braisa that said if you're sick for all 6 years, he has to make it up, means to say he did no work, absolutely nothing, not even any sewing, that is something that would not be bashvius yetzei, he would have to make up the 6 years, just like a eved that runs away. 6 years, all of it, if you half of it, fine. But all of it, you would have to make it up. Again, in contrast to the first braisa, I was talking about that even though he was sick for all 6 years, he was doing some light work. Now, the Gemara just asked, now that we introduced the second braisa, Hagufa Kasha, seems to be internal contradiction from this second braisa. Because Amrit, you said, Chalash Shalash V'Avit Shalash in Chayv Lahashlim, this second braisa said that if you work for 3 years and part of the three, and the other half of the 6 years, meaning for 3 years he was sick, then he doesn't have to make it up. Ha'arba, chayav lahashlim. But the inference is, but if he was sick for 4 years, oh, that's already more than halfway, then he would have to make it up. But Ema Sefer, look at the Sefer. The Sefer says, chala kol sheish, chayav lahashlim. If you're sick for all 6 years, then he has to make it up. Ha'dalad, in chayav lahashlim. But it sounds like from that inference, but if it was only 4 years, then he doesn't have to make it up. It's only if you're sick for the whole time. So what's the halacha? There's contradictory inferences regarding if the guy's sick for 4 years. Now the Gemara says, Hachikama, this is what the Bais was saying. Chala dalad, if you're sick for 4 years, the end of the Bais was saying, Nasa kemisha chala kol shesh. It's as if you were sick for all 6 years, for chayav lahashem, then you're going to have to make it up. And that's what the Bais was saying. When you're sick for only 3 years, then you don't have to make it up. But if you're sick more than that, you already passed the halfway mark, then it's what the Seif is saying, it's as if you were sick for all 6 years, and you would have to make it up. And again, our bracelet says that even if you're sick for all 6 years, you don't have to make it up, like it says of a Shviyas Yetzei, who was told that at least he was doing some light work, like sewing. Now the Gemara continues this topic, again from the previous daf, discussing the halachas of Hanukkah, when the Eved Ivri leaves, that he gets these gifts. So Tanya Rabbanu will learn the bracelet. Kama manikim loy. How much is the halachic requirements of giving the gifts to the Eved Ivri that's leaving? So it's a machlekes. The first opinion says, Chamesh shloim mikol min u'min. You have to give 5 sloim from every single type of category that's mentioned in the Torah. It says, mitzayincha, from your flock, migarncha, from your granary, u'mikvecha, from the wine vat, which each one you have to give 5 sloim from. Shehin chamesh esrei sloim, which it comes for a total of 15 sloim, which the Gemara later is going to ask, what, we don't know how to add? We don't know how to multiply? Why do we need divrei meir? Meir tells us that it's 15 sloim. Of course, if it's 5 from each of 3, we know that it's 15. The Gemara will address that question. So he holds it's 15 sloim. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, shleishim kishleishim shel eved. He says 30 sloim, the way it is if, let's say, a shor hamu'ud, which is an ox that already gored 3 times. When it kills an eved, then the owner of the shor has to pay up the owner of the slave 30 sloim. That is the amount that the master has to give to the Eved Ivri when he's leaving in the form of Hanukkah. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain why do we learn that from the Shleishim Shel Eved. And the third opinion, Reb Shimon, he says, Chamishim kechamishim shebe'erichin. You have to give 50, like the Erichin value, where the Torah gives certain values for certain people. If you say, Erich plainly alai, I want to give that Torah value of that person on me. So depending on the gender and the age, that's how much you have to give. So the most expensive is the 50, which is the erech of an adult. That's the amount that the master has to give to the Eved Ivri as Hanukkah. Now the Gemara explains this price. Amamar. First opinion said, Chamesh shloim mikol min u'min. There's 3 different types of categories mentioned in the Torah for Hanukkah. You have to give 5 shloim of each type. She'em chamesh esrei shloim, which that's 15 shloim, dibrei meir. Asks the Gemara of Remei minyon osla shemina, what Remei is coming to tell us how to add that 3 types, which each one has 5, that it's going to be 15. Why does he tell us that? So I think Gemara says, no, hokamash malon, what Remei was teaching is mivtzehu dele mivtzele mahay minyona. You can't give less than 15 slug. But what he is teaching is, vibotzer le mechad mina, but if you give less from one type, vitafi le mechad mina, and you give more of another type, less lomba, that doesn't bother us. That's why he said that it's for a total of 15 slum to tell us that the real particularity that we had is just for the sum total of the 15 slum. But the Torah is not particular that you have to give 5 from each type. In other words, that if you give less from one and more from another one, that's not problematic. It's just the Torah's form of telling us, which later on we're going to ask, okay, so why does it say these different categories? But primarily it's that you add of each one 5, again, but you can give more from one and less from the other. That's why it's telling us in this form of the sum total. Now, the Gemara asks, so my time in Remeah, what's the reason of Remeah? How does he know that this halacha is that from these 3 types, he's giving 5 slum from each one? So the Gemara says, Yolaf Rekam Rekam Mibichar. He learns Gzeir Shava that it says in Hanukkah, it says, Lesa Shachen Rekam, in Dvarim Tezvav, don't send your Eved empty-handed, which that's the halacha of Hanukkah. And it says by Pinya Ben in Shemais Lamadad, redeeming the firstborn son, it says, V'chol b'chor b'necha tifte, that every firstborn of your son you should redeem, V'lo yiro apane rekam, you shouldn't see my face empty-handed. So both these halachas have the term rekam. Says the Gemara, Remei learns, Malahan chamesh shloim, just like over there by Pinya Ben, you have to give to the Kayin 5 shloim, Avkan chamesh shloim. So here also, regarding Hanukkah, each category is telling you have to give 5 shloim of each one. Now that the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema chamesh shloim mekulu?" How do you know that each one is 5? Maybe the sum total of all 3 of them, of Tzayin, Garin, and Yakiv, should be for a sum total of 5. How do you know each one's having 5, which then times 3 is 15? So that the Gemara says, "Iksiv rekam lebesayif." If the pasuk would have written the word empty-handed at the end, in other words, let's say it would have said hanik tanikloi, load them up, mitzayincha, migarincha, mikvecha, and then it said v'leis teshachen rekam, don't send them empty-handed. So if the word rekam is coming at the end, so kadikamer, that would be you right, like you're trying to say that from these 3 things, then you should give rekam, which is 5 slum. But hasha dechsev rekam beresha, but now that actually the way the pasuk is written, it has the word rekam in the beginning before the words hanik tanik. So shadei rekam ad tzayin. So rekam is qualifying whatever is going to be coming after that. So when it says the word tzayin, rekam is qualifying that. When it comes to the flock, it's got to be 5 slum. Rekam agarin, then rekam is qualifying the next category mentioned, which is from the granary, and Rekam Ayakev, each one is qualified that each one's getting 5 slum, because that's what Rekam is saying. That's how we know it's 5 times 3, which is going to be 15. But now the Gemara asks, although his Gzei Yeshava was Rekam Rekam, but Venedil of Rekam Rekam O'ilis Riyah, there's another place where it says Rekam, which is by the O'ilis Riyah, when the person is coming up to do Sholish Regalim, he has an obligation to bring a Karman O'ila of showing himself in front of Hashem, where actually that carbon oilo only has to be two ma of kesef. So maybe it should only be each one two ma. And who said you have to give five slum of each one? So the Gemara says, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says at the end of that Pasuk where it says Hanig Tanik, it says you should load him up, etc., etc. Asher beracha Hashem lekecha, from that which Hashem your God blessed you. Now the word bracha is that of a ribuy, of an increase, and therefore obviously see the Pasuk's interpretation, what it wants from you to give to the Eved, is that of the excess, not of minimizing. So therefore, if we're going to have a gezeirah shavah of rekem rekem, we would learn it from the halacha of pinya ben, which has five slum, and not from eilis riyah, which has just very little, that of two ma'av kesef. Obviously, the Torah wants to have the bracha that you're giving him more, not less. That's Rameh's interpretation. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, shloishim kishloishim mishalevet, like we quote in the Brisa, he says that you give 30 slum, like the 30 when an eved is killed by a shor hamud. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he see fit to learn the halacha of Hanukkah from the when an Eved Ivri gets gored by a shor hamud? So that the Gemara says, Yelef Nesina mi Eved, he has a gzeir shava of the word of giving, what it says over here, titen loy, and it says by the Eved Ivri being killed by the shor hamud, it says also, kesef shleishim shkolim yiten la'adoinam, the 30 silver coins, shkolim, should be given to his master. So therefore, malahal and shleishim, just like over there, it's 30. Avkan shleishim, here also, it's going to be 30, because both of them have this term of giving. Now the Gemara asks, okay, that's your gzeirah shavah that you have a maserah for, which is, it says giving here and says giving there, but v'nelef nesina nesina me'erichin, but you can learn out the same gzeirah shavah with the same terms from the halachas of erichin, which again is a vow that a person takes to give a certain a value of a person, which a Torah designates that value to Hekdash, which malahal chamishim, just like over there, it's 50, and as we'll see, that's actually where another opinion has that interpretation, avkan chamishim, hirosa should be 50, not just the 30 that you have for the Eved being killed. So that the Gemara gives two answers. Chada, first of all, the tefasta meruba loy tefasta. We have a general dictum in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that says that don't grab more, because then you might not grab anything. Tafasta mu tafasta, if you grab a little, then you might have grabbed on. In other words, you don't know what the interpretation is. The interpretation, we go with what's for sure and not what's maybe. So whenever there's a choice between grabbing more and saying that maybe I'm supposed to get more, but maybe not, you grab the lower one. So therefore, although we could compare giving to either to the Eved Ivri being killed, which is 30, or the Erechim, which is 50, we're going to choose the lower one. But moreover, Evid may Evid have a lemelef. Definitely, it's more logical to say that if we're going to learn the gzeirah shavah, we would learn the category of Hanukkah, which is regards to Evid Ivri, from the halacha of an Evid Ivri being killed, which both of them related to Evid, in contrast to Erechin, which is a totally different topic. So that's the second opinion, that of Rabbi Huda. Now, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, he was the third opinion we quoted. He says, Chamishim kechamishim shebe Erechin. The Hanukkah is going to be 50, the way the Erechin of an adult is, it's 50. Not the Gemara, it's my time in Reb Shimon. What's Reb Shimon's reason? So the Gemara explains, Gamar Nasina Nasina Me'erichin. He learns the term of giving, which it says by the Eved Ivri's Hanukkah, and by Erichin, which it says giving to. Malahan Chamishim, just like over there, it's 50. Afkan Chamishim, here it's also 50 coins. So that the Gemara asks, well, Ve'ema B'pachash Be'erichin. Fine, so you're learning it from Erichin, but there's so many different types of Erich values that are given over there for a month old child, for a woman. So how do you know to learn out from the highest value, maybe from the lowest? So that the Gemara says, as we said before, Asher beracha Hashem lekecha ksib. The Pasuk by Hanukkah says that you should give him and load him up from that which Hashem your God has blessed you, which is telling us that Hashem wants to give the most from what the Torah is telling you the parameters are. So therefore, since we could have, when we're comparing it to Erechin, we're going to compare it to the highest, not to the lowest. But now the Gemara asks, as actually we saw Rabbi Huda's opinion, that v'nelef nesina nesina mi'eved, so why is Rabbi Shimon learning out giving? From Erichin, it should learn it out from Eved. Malahal and Shleishim, Avkan Shleishim. Just like there was 30, here it's also 30 and not 50. Because actually, as Rabbi Huda had supported his opinion, Chada, first of all, the Tefasta Merubah Loi Tefasta. You don't grab the larger one, you take the smaller one. And V'yod, moreover, Eved may Eved have Leila Melef. You should have learned that from Eved, not from Erichin. So what's the understanding of Rabbi Shimon's opinion? So that thing where it says, you're right, Rabbi Shimon, Micha, Micha Gamer. Actually, Rabbi Shimon has a different misera of the gezeirah shavah. It wasn't regarding the terms of giving, because you're right, then we would have learned from the Eved Ivri when he's killed by the shor hamud. Rather, he has a different term about being poor, which, as Rashi explains, a person cannot make up his own gezeirah shavah. It's a Messiah. It's a tradition that a person has from his teachers going all the way back to Sinai. Which word was written in the Torah for the purposes of Gezeirah Shavah to learn that one thing from a different context? Now, up until this point, the Gemara had assumed that Reb Shimon had said that he learned from his teacher the halachas of Hanukkah, that is learned from Gezeirah Shavah, that's learned from the terms of giving. So therefore, the Gemara had asked, so we don't understand this Gezeirah Shavah. You're right, you know that the term giving was the term that you can learn that from another parasha where it says giving to tell you the halacha of Hanukkah. So he's learning from Erichin. Why? Learn from the term giving by the Eved, as we had two good points. First of all, tefasta, mu tefasta, and also learn that from another context of Eved. That's why the Gemara had to answer that no, actually the Gezeirah Shavah of Reb Shimon was not learned out from the terms of giving. That wasn't his words that he was given over as a Messiah. Rather, it must be that his Messiah was from the words of being poor, where it says by the Hanukkah of Eved Ivri, it says v'chi yamuch. It says the term by Eved Ivri, it says when he becomes poor, he's going to sell himself to you. And it also says by Erichin v'imachu, that if he's poor, the person who's taking the Erichin regarding how much he has to pay. So this is by both contexts, it says poor. That's why Reb Shimon learns that's his Messiah of his Gezeirah Shavah, which tells us it's like over there it's 50. Again, we take the highest amount, because Hashem Barach Shem Lekecha. Here also, by the Hanukkah of Eved Ivri, it's going to be 50. Now the Gemara explained each opinion. Now the Gemara asks, so Bishlam the Remeir, we understand the current Remeir. Hainu Dechsiv Tzayin Garin V'Yakob. We understand why the Torah delineates these three categories when it's talking about giving him gifts when he's leaving, regarding the flock and the granary and the wine press, to tell you a Gezeirah Shavah regarding each one of them, that for the sum total is going to be 15, because that's the only way he knows 15. Because we said that it's qualifying each one individually from Rekam, that each one is 5, so that's how we get to the number 15. But El Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and according to them, Haitzoin Gurim Yaakov Alamali, why does the Pasuk even mention those three? In other words, as we'll shortly see, since we ultimately say that Hanukkah includes giving him gifts from anything, as we learn that from the words Asher Beracha, so why specify these three examples for the halacha of Hanukkah? So that the Gemara says, Haimi Boile, look at the Tanya. No, these three terms are actually very necessary, as we learn in the Braisa according to all opinions. Because the Braisa says as follows, if you were just reading the pasuk, you would think that the gifts that you give to the Eved when he leaves is only from these three categories which are mentioned in the Torah, from one's flock, from one's granary, or from one's wine press. Says the Braisa, Menai L'Rab is called Dava. How do you know that you could actually include anything regarding the gifts when he's leaving? Tamalayma, because the pasuk teaches, Asher Berachacha Hashem Lekecha, because from that from which Hashem your God has blessed you, that you give him. So it's anything that Hashem has blessed you. So So then the question is, so if we know you can give anything, so why does the Torah specify these three? Laimelcha says the Braisa to tell you, and this is answering the question for Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, Matzoin Gurim Yaakov Miuchadim, just like these three items are distinct, Sheyesh Nebechlal Bracha, that they're included in the category of blessing, because flock, they proliferate, they have children, and Gedula Karka, things which grow from the ground, which is grain and wine and grapes, they also, you could plant it, and there's continuity for that. There's blessing in them. Avkol Sheyesh Nebechlal Bracha, that's exactly what's qualifying Asher Beracha Hashem Lekecha, that whatever it is that you can give has to be included in that, it's in the category of blessing. Which Yatzuk Safim, that excludes money. Money is not something that proliferates, it's static, and therefore that's not included in something that you give him for the halacha of Hanukkah, that's the Reb Shimon. Eliezer ben Yaakov, I mean, he says Yatzuk Prades, it excludes a mule, because a mule was born from a union that now the mule itself cannot proliferate. So that's excluded. You can't give them for the 15 or the 30 or the 50 coins that you have to give him when he leaves. Now, however, Reb Shimon, that he said it only excludes money but not a mule, he says, Pradis Meshabchen Bekufayu. That is included in Bechlal Bracha, because the mule itself could get stronger and bigger, and therefore it's included in Bracha. It's something that could get more. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, he would tell you that the reason why he doesn't exclude money like Reb Shimon is because Ksafim Avad Behu Iska. Money could also be Bechlal Bracha, because you could do business with money and you can get more money, you can get more things. So that is included Bechlal Bracha. That's why they disagree regarding if it's excluding money or excluding a mule. Now, says the Gemara moreover, Utsricha, and we also needed to say each one of these three categories to qualify this halacha of being Bechlal Bracha. Because Dikas Rachman Etzayin Hadatar only said the flock, sheep, Havamina, Balechayim in Giduli Karkolai. I would have thought, okay, but it could only be animals that you give him and not things that grow from the ground. Kas Rachman the garden. That's what the Torah wrote granary to tell you even things that grow from the ground. And because of a garden, had we only said granary, Hava mina gedula karkin balachayim loy, I would have thought to say you could only give things that grow from the ground, but not animals. Kas Rachman the tzayin. That's what the Torah wrote animals to tell you that it could be anything b'chalal bracha in regards to animal or even vegetation. Now, but then the question is, so yekev lomli, why do I need the wine press where I already know already animals and vegetation, so what do I need the wine vat to say as the third category? So now the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, that is like we said in the Braisa, Lamar Lamute Ksafim, according to Reb Shimon, where that's coming to exclude monies, and Lamar Lamute Paradis, according to the other opinion, that it's excluding a mule. In other words, because you shouldn't say that, as the Braisa interpreted, that Hashem Berachecha, it says that whatever Hashem blesses you includes everything, and therefore it would include Gedulei Karka and living animals and everything. That's why, since we already included Gedulei Karka and animals, so what's Yaakov coming to say? That's what is coming to qualify again, specifically like those three categories, because you wouldn't know that without the third wheel. You would say, okay, it's including this and this, and even Hashem Berachecha. When you're saying Yaakov, which seemingly is not adding anything else, it's saying that it has to be like these three things, which is B'chlal Bracha. And because these three things are all included in that thing, and that's what Yaakov is highlighting, because without Yaakov, you would think, okay, this is telling you animals, this is telling you vegetation, and Hashem Berachecha is telling you anything that could be given. But Yaakov is saying that, no, it has to be like these three things, because it's not adding anything else, to tell you that if it's not b'chlal bracha, again, according to either opinion, whether that means excluding money or mules, will not be included in halacha of hanukkah. Continuing on this halacha, Tana Rabbanu learned b'raisa. As we quoted before, it says in the pasuk, Asher b'racha Hashem lekecha, you should give him hanukkah from that which Hashem your God has blessed you. Now, says the b'raisa, Yochel nesbarach b'ayis b'glola manikim loy. So based on this pasuk, you would think to say that if there came blessing to your house because of the Eved Ivri, then you give him hanukkah. But if you read the pasuk, you would think if Hashem did not bless your house because of him, he didn't get any more profit since he joined you, then you wouldn't give him hanukkah, because it sounds like only that which Hashem, your God, has blessed you. That's what the Tanya of the Baraita teaches. The word says hanik tanik. It's a repetitious term, which we find throughout Shas. Whenever it does that, it's mitel yumikol makom. In all situations, you have to give hanukkah, even though there wasn't blessing. Now, then why does the pasuk tell you, because from this that Hashem, God, has blessed you, but it's not, that you're telling me you have to give hanukkah even if Hashem didn't bless you with the evri. So that's what the Tanya teaches, hakolafi bracha tenloi. Everything according to the blessing that you give him. In other words, what the pasuk is telling you, if there was more blessing because of him, then you have to add an increase to the hanukkah. But if not, of course, you're not going to diminish his primary hanukkah. That's hanik tanik in all situations. Asher b'racha Hashem lekecha is telling you that if there is blessing, you got to give more. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I mean, he says, no, dvarm kiksavan. No, the words are literal as we had assumed. Nizbarach b'ayis b'glaloi manikim loy. If the house was blessed because of him, then you got to give gifts. Loy nizbarach b'ayis b'glaloi im manikim loy. If the house was not blessed because of him, you don't give him the gifts. So then what do we do with this word hanik tanik, which sounds like what's the repetition for? Isn't it coming to include in all circumstances? Such a blessing desire, you know, dibra Torah kol Hashem adam. The Torah talks in human types of terminologies, or else we wouldn't understand anything. And that's how people talk. Hanik tanik, surely you must give him gifts, but not that it's coming to include anything. It actually is, only if there's blessing. If there wasn't blessing, then you don't have to give him hanukkah according to Blazim and Azariah. Now we continue on these halachas of Eved Ivri regarding a Jewish slave. So turn around and learn the braisa. Eved Ivri, Eved Esaben. A Jewish slave serves the son. In other words, if let's say his master dies, and within the 6 years that he's working there, he will continue to serve the son until he finishes his 6 years, or if he reaches Yovel within those 6 years. But ve'ina Eved Esabas. He does not work for the daughter. So let's say if his master dies and he doesn't have any sons and the daughters inherit the property, he does not serve anymore if there's just a daughter. Amavriya, a Jewish maidservant, she does not work, not for the son and not for the daughter. So if the master dies, in no circumstances she leaves. And a slave that already passed the 6 years but he wanted to stay on longer, and he gets this hole in his ear, which then he stays till Yovel. So if he was serving a master, and or someone that was sold to a non-Jew, and then the master died, They too will not serve not for the son or not for the daughter. That's what the Braisa says. Amamas. Now the Gemara comes to explain this Braisa. Eved ivri eved es haben. The time the Braisa said that a Jewish slave serves the son, but ve'ena eved es habas, but it doesn't serve for any other yarshim, any other inheritors of his master. In this case, meaning he wouldn't serve the daughter. Ask the Gemara, manan amili, from where do we know this from? So the Gemara says, the Tanabon, like we learned the Braisa. The pasuk in Devarim says, that the Jewish slave that you purchase, he will serve you for 6 years. So it says, avadcha, he will serve you, which tells you, for you and not for inheritors, meaning the other types of inheritors, meaning, for example, like a daughter or like a person's brother, who if he dies without any children, his brother inherits him. Now, says the Braisa, is that the drasha? That it says that he will serve you and not for these other inheritors? Or, says the Braisa, maybe it's even more exclusive, meaning he will only serve you, but if you die, even if your son inherits you, he will not serve even your son, not just other inheritors, but even the son. So that the Braisa says, no, when the Pasuk says in Shemais, for 6 years he will serve, and it doesn't say he will serve you. So we see, obviously we're including someone over there, that's not just you, that must include the son, who's the primary inheritor of a person. So what do I learn out when it says that he will serve you, which sounds like it's excluding others? That's l'chav v'loyli yarish. It's to say he'll serve you, but not for other inheritors, like a brother or like a daughter. But for a son, we learn it from the other pasuk that he will serve up until the 6 years or yevil. Now, the Gemara asks on this braisa, Mari is l'rabis es haben u'lohitzi es ha'ach. Where do you see fit? We have one pasuk inclusive, one pasuk exclusive. Where do you see fit to include the service of the slave for 6 years for the son, but to exclude a brother? So the Gemara answers, Marba nias haben, I will include the son, shekein kam tachas aviv liyado. We see that the son takes the place of his father, so therefore he's supposed to serve the father. Now the father's dead, it would make more sense to assume and interpret that it's the son that takes the father's place. Why? Because first of all, he takes his place in another area regarding giyud, which is when a man purchases a Jewish maidservant as a slave. The halach is that he can transition that money into kesef kedushin and then marry that amavriya, which is called yiyud. Now, he doesn't have to go ahead and give other kesef kedushin. The halach is, it says the pasuk in Shmoyis Chav Aleph, vim livno yodena. Part of that unique halach is that it doesn't have to be only the master himself. His son would not have to give kesef kedushin to marry this amavriya. They could just transition that kesef of the purchase into kesef kedushin. So you see, he takes his father's place regarding yiyud. And the second area is lustei achuzah. We find that he takes his father's place, which a halacha unique to that person. We find that the son could take that place regarding the ancestral field. So halacha is, if someone has a stei achuzah, which is a field that he has an inheritance from his father, going back to when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, when they split up Eretz Yisrael. So if he goes and he's makdash, he gives it over to Hekdash, says this is sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. So the certain unique halacha is how he has to redeem it according to the amount of land that there is, each one being chamishim shekel kesef. Now the halacha is, if he doesn't redeem it, and the gizbar, the one who's in charge of the hektish property, sells it to someone else, halacha is that the original owner is not allowed to redeem it anymore. And actually, when it reaches the yevil year, then it leaves the domain of the one who purchased it, and it gets split up, and it's given to the kahanim. Now, however, a unique halacha for this is, if the son of the makdash, the owner of the field, who is Makdash's field, if his son went and he purchased it from the Gizbar, it does not leave from his domain in Yovel to get split up amongst the Kahanim for eternity. Because as the Braisa teaches in Erech and as follows, in Avchafeim and Beis, says in the Pasuk, Vim lo yigoyel hasad, if he doesn't redeem the field, who's that a reference to? That's a reference to the owner. Now, Vimachar es hasadah, now if the Gizbar goes and sells it to someone else, when it says to someone else, that's the understanding, but not to the son. The son is not considered someone else, which the Gemara there discusses, or maybe that when it says to someone else, it's excluding a brother. So that's what the Braisa says over there. No, when it says le'ish, so we already know the brother is included to be considered as someone else. So how do I understand when it says le'achar? That's coming to tell you that only be sold to someone else, but not to the son. Which the Gemara there discussed the same question. Where did you see fit to include the son, that he'll take the place of the father as if the father himself redeemed his own field, which then it will stay in his domain, and exclude a brother, where if a brother buys it from the gizbar, that then it does leave. So there the Gemara says that I will include the son because he takes his father's place, like we said over here regarding Yud, And they compare our halacha over here by Eved Ivri, where just like he'll serve the father for 6 years, and the son takes that place that will serve him for 6 years, in contrast to a brother or a daughter. Therefore, I'll include him for the halacha over there for Steachuza, that he also takes the father's place, where if the original owner redeems it, then it will stay. In other words, when he's buying it back, it won't go to the Kana by Yevil. So that's why the Gemara says over here, so too we're utilizing their halacha, they utilize our halacha, we're utilizing their halacha of Steachuza, to say that from these two areas, we see that the son takes the father's place. So that the Gemara asks, what other rabbi to the contrary? I would include the brother of this person to take his place regarding the Eved Ivri serving him out the entire 6 years. She can come to Achas Achav LeYibum. We find the brother taking his brother's place when he dies without any children, that he marries his wife. So that's taking his place. Where do you ever find that someone can marry someone else's woman, especially in Erva? So we find the brother taking the brother's place. So maybe he should take his place regarding Eved Ivri too. So on that says the Gemara, what do you mean? The whole context over there that the brother is taking his brother's place is only when there's no son. Hayesh ben ain yibum, but when there is a son, there's no yibum. So you can't say the brother is better than the son, because the son would tell you, your whole claim to fame, which you're taking this your brother's place, is only when I don't exist. When I exist, you don't even have anything. But yet a son takes his father's place for Yud and Steachuza, and therefore that is more ideal for saying who takes this man's place when he dies, because we have one inclusionary term and one exclusionary term. So it's going to be the son that takes the father's place regarding to finishing out the Eved Ivri's term of 6 years. Now, however, the Gemara asks on what the Gemara had just responded. Ela Taima, it sounds like that the reason why you're including the son more than the brother is because the Ikoha Percha, because you have this flaw in the brother's claim, where he's saying, well, what about me? I take my brother's place in Yibam, where the son could tell him, what do you mean? Your whole, when you take my father's place, is only when I don't exist. When I exist, you have no claim to fame at all. So therefore, it's going to be the son over the brother. Halavach, what it sounds like from the Gemara's answer is, but if not for that, we would say that achad, if that the brother would be better. But why? What do you mean? But I could tell you very simply why we would have the son over the brother, even without that flaw. Because you have one claim to fame. You have a Yibum. But here there's two. There's Yiyud, and there's also Steachuza. So two over one, we would choose. Why do we need that response of saying, but there's a flaw in the one of the brother in regards to Yibum? So that the Gemara answers that actually it's not two against one. It's actually one against one. And therefore, how would we know it's the son over the brother? And that's where I have to say that there's a flaw in the brothers, because it's only when there's no son. Why? Because Steachuza namim hai perchu hu de kanafke le latana, as we mentioned before in passing, that even the halacha that the son takes the father's place regarding redeeming the Steachuza was only learnt out from this same principle that we mentioned before, where klum yesh yibim el b'makam shein ben, where the whole yibim only applies where a brother taking his brother's place only when there's no son. In other words, if we didn't have this answer of creating the flaw, klum yesh yibim, then actually we would not know to include the son more than the brother. Because it doesn't say over there regarding a son and not the brother, meaning regarding Steachuza. It's only because we know that the son takes the father's place regarding Yud, which that it does say explicitly that we're including the son. But the question of that is, but yeah, to the contrary, I would include the brother who takes his brother's place regarding Yibum. And therefore we needed the answer of Klum Yesh Yibum to say that if there's a son, there's no Yibum in the first place. So therefore, there also, we couldn't say that it's two against one, because it's only one against one. Because the only one that really the son has is Yiyud, and the brother has the halach of Yibum. Because both Steachuza and the halach of Eved Ivri are actually both learnt out from, which doesn't say who. Doesn't say who takes the place of this man regarding Steachuza. And doesn't say who takes the place by Eved Ivri. Where both Gemaras have that discussion, who's it going to be? Is it going to be the son or is it going to be the brother? So each one, yes, quotes, well, I have Yud and I have Steachuza. That's what our Gemara says. And the Gemara by Steachuza, when it's trying to figure out Steachuza, it says, well, the son has Yud and it has Eved Ivri. But really, each one is not true. How do you know you have Eved Ivri and you have Steachuza? It's only because by each one, we end up saying the son is primary because of the only one really that has explicitly is Yud. But the brother has Yibum. But since there's a flaw in the one of Yibam, where we say you only have my father's place when I don't exist, but when I exist, you don't have any claim to fame, but I always have this Yud, that's why the one of the son overpowers the one of the brother. And again, that's why you'll always have the two or even three places where the son takes over the father, that of Steachuza and that of Eved Ivri. But we don't know that when we're having that discussion, because really, ultimately, each one only ends up coming out from because of the flaw of, what do you mean? Yibum only is applicable when there is no son. And again, that's how we know the answer for the inclusionary term, including the son, and the exclusionary term saying that you will not serve out to 6 years for the Yerush, which includes the daughter or the brother of the man who passed away. Now, the Gemara continues explaining the Braisa. We said, Omer Ria, regarding a Jewish maidservant, we said, Eino Ivedis lo yasa ben bo lo yasa bas. She doesn't serve neither the son or any other Yerush. So the Gemara says, where do we know that halacha from? So Amre Pidah, he says, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says in the Varm, now, the beginning of that Pasuk, it's in Perek Tezvah, Pasuk Yizayin, is talking about, V'lakachta es amartzea, you will take the drill, the Nesata v'ozna u'vadelis, and you'll put it into the slave's ear and by the door, V'ayilucha eved oilem, that makes him become an eved forever, meaning up until the Yevil year. And the end of that Pasuk says, V'afla maskatasiken, and the same thing you should do for the Jewish maidservant. So says Re Pidah, Hikisha hakas of Lenirza. So the Pasuk is equating a Jewish maidservant with an Eved Ivri that was Nirza. Where man Nirza eino Eved lo yasa ben lo yasa bas, as we'll see shortly, just like the Nirza does not serve neither the son or the daughter, because the Pasuk says v'avadai, that he will serve him, meaning for him and not for his son, which is an exclusionary term. Sa'afa mavriya eino Eved lo yasa ben lo yasa bas. That's what the Pasuk is telling you at the end when it says, V'avla maschatasikain, what does an Amavri have to do with the Eved Ivri that's Nirza? To say, just like over there, he doesn't serve after the master's death for any inheritors, so too for the Amavri. Now that the Gemara asks, V'hayla maschatasikain lahachay huda asa, is that true that the words at the end of that Pasuk that you should do the same for the Jewish maidservant is coming to say this halach of comparing it to the Nirza, that she doesn't serve the son or the daughter? But it's actually necessary for a different halacha like learning the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'afla maschatasiken, says the Braisa, what's that coming to say that the same thing you should do for the Jewish maidservant? It's coming to tell you, Lahanik, to say just like an Eved Ivri gets Hanukka, gets gifts, so too you have to give that for the Jewish maidservant when she leaves. Says the Braisa, is that so? Ato im Lahanik, are you saying that it's really to tell you the halacha of giving gifts? Or maybe it's only to tell you the halacha that the Jewish maidservant has the halacha of boring a hole in their ear if she wants to stay longer. Because the pasuk beforehand talks about hanukkah. But then the next pasuk, which is the pasuk where we talk about over here, va'afla maschatasikain, the beginning of that pasuk talks about ritzia. And then it says va'afla maschatasikain. So which one is it going back? Is it going back on the beginning of this pasuk where it's talking about ritzia? Or is it going back on the previous pasuk of hanukkah? Says the Braisa, Kishu'aymu in the Pasuk says, V'im oma yoyim ha'eved, that if the slave will say, which that begins the whole parasha about saying that he wants to stay longer, haftis ishti adani, I love my family, meaning this my, where I'm a slave to, and I want to stay over here, then he gets ritzia. So it says the word ha'eved, the slave, which is the masculine, to tell you below oma havriya, and not the Jewish maidservant. Sahare ritzia omar. So we already know regarding ritzia that it does not apply to omavriya. So what do I do then with the pasuk when it says that you'll do the same for the Jewish maidservant, where in that pasuk is Tomat Ritzia, which does not apply to the Jewish maidservant? So it must be telling you Lahanik. Must be going back on the pasuk right before that, which is Tomat giving gifts, that applies to the Amavriya. So maybe the Gemara's question is, you see that Va'afla Maschatasikin is coming to teach Allah of Hanukka, not like you said, that's coming to compare it with the first halacha of that pasuk regarding telling you this comparison to Ritzia, that she doesn't serve not the son or not the daughter. So that the Gemara answers, Im Kain, if it was only coming to teach us this Hekish, where, as we said, that she doesn't serve the son or the daughter like the Nirtza doesn't, which is the beginning of that pasuk, then Nechtev Kra, then the pasuk should have only said that Va'af and also La Mascha Kain, for your maidservant should be like this. My Tasa, what's the extra word you should do? Shamim Notarti, that extra word teaches you two halachas to tell you that also regards to the halacha of Hanukkah. That you should do, what should you do? You should give her gifts, like we said in the previous pasuk. And the other words of La Amascha Kain is telling you this comparison between the Nirtza and the Amavriya, just like the Nirtza, when the master dies, doesn't serve the Ben of the Ba'as, so too the Amavriya. Then the Braisa said, the third halacha was Hanirtza v'nimkal oivik achavim, someone that's a Nirtza, or he was sold to a non-Jew. In Ovid lo yasa ben b'lo yasa bas, he doesn't serve after the master's death, not the son and not the daughter. Again, in contrast to a regular Eved Ivri for his first 6 years, where if the master dies, he will serve the son, as we said, and not the son, not the daughter or the brother. So what's the source? So the Gemara says, Nirtze d'chsev, and Nirtze is like it says the pasuk in Shemais. It says, V'rotza adoyne v'soznoi b'martzeya, that his master will bore a hole in his ear with the drill, v'avodoy lo'olam, he'll serve him forever, meaning which means up until the Yebel year, which tells us v'loyas ha-ben, v'loyas ha-bas, but not the son and not the daughter, which is especially an exclusionary term because we already know not the daughter even by regular evidentiary. What's this exclusionary term by the Nirtze? To tell you, even the son, he's not going to serve after the master's death. And how do we know that if he sold to non-Jew, that if the master dies, he does not serve the son or the daughter? So Amachiski says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Meyikra, it says, V'chishav im koinehu, that he'll calculate with the one who purchased him, with the, when the, talks about over there, when he sold to a non-Jew, and he tries to calculate how much prorated left that he could buy his way out. So it tells us, V'lo yim yorshe koinehu, but he doesn't calculate this with the inheritors of the one who purchased him, meaning to say because you're never going to have that situation because you never work for the inheritors. When the master dies, you go free. Now, based on this, Amar Rava, Rava says, Dva Taira, what we see that biblical halacha is from the fact that we needed to exclude the Eved Ivri from working for the inheritor of the non-Jew, that must be that Eved Kachav Miyarish Tesav, must be that a non-Jew inherits his father according to halacha. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk, v'chishav imkineyu, we said that you calculate with the one who purchased him, and we said v'loim yershikineyu, but not with the inheritors of the one who purchased him. Now machlal dis liyershim, the whole halacha is based on the premise that there are inheritors. If there's no inheritors, you wouldn't need a miyut to say that you don't serve them because there's no inheritance for non-Jews. For the fact that you need it to say that he doesn't serve them must be that they do inherit their father according to biblical halacha. Now continuing on this theme, what Rava proved from this halacha continues on related halachas of Yerusha. He says, Geres ha'evet kechavim, regarding if there was a convert to Judaism, but his parents are non-Jewish. So says Rava, Eina medivri Torah, ela medivri Seifim. This convert, to when his parents die, his inheritance of them is not biblical, it's only rabbinic. Does not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Demai, which will prove this halacha. The Mishnah says, Ger va'evet kechavim, she'yersha esavim, evet kechavim. If a convert and his brother, who's a non-Jew, inherit their parents, who are also non-Jewish. The halacha is, ger yochaleim l'evi kechavim, the convert could tell his brother, who's a non-Jew, tul ato avodas kechavim bani mois. Look, we're going to split it up. We're going to do a 50-50. You take the idols, and I'll take the money, because he's Jewish. He has nothing to do with the idols. And I'll take the money. Tul ato yayin nesach vani peris. You take the yayin nesach, which is the forbidden wine, because of its being used for libations for idols. And I'll take the fruits. Now, that's what they could do. But says the Mishnah, Mishabol Lashos Ger Aser. But once they split it up, and he notices, let's say, the Ger, that, oh my gosh, in my properties I have this idol, let me switch it with my brother, then that's already forbidden because he's getting pleasure out of swapping that idol with his brother, and idols are what's called Isur Hano, you can't have any benefit from it, he can't swap once it's already in his domain. That's what the Mishnah says. Says Rava, if you would entertain that a convert's inheritance, meaning although we're saying that non-Jews inherit their parents according to biblical halacha, but a ger does not. Because if you said it's biblical, then even if it hadn't yet come to his domain, meaning what was the case of the reisha of that Mishnah, from the moment that his father, who's a non-Jew, dies, he automatically merits half the property, half the estate. And now he's coming to swap it with his brother before he actually takes it. But the problem is, kishakel, when he's going to be taking, chilufei avoydis kechavim hu dekashakel, essentially he's taking what was swapped for idols, because he really has a 50% share in everything what from the moment that his father, the non-Jew, died. Ella rather says, Rav, what you can infer from this is that this that he inherits his father, the non-Jew, is not biblical. Because actually he has no lineage anymore as inheritor after his father who's a non-Jew. Because a convert is what's called kekotin shaneldom. He's like a newborn child and he has no relationship with his father. Rather, it's midrabanan. Therefore, it's only rabbinic. So therefore, before he took, he really had no rights. It's not biblical law. So therefore, then he could swap. But when he took it, then it's going to be problematic because then he already acquired it. And then to swap it would be problematic for Isur Hano. Now, what's this rabbinic halacha? Why did they make this rabbinic law that the convert inherits his father rabbinically? It's a gezeirah hudavad rabbanan. It's a rabbinic decree that the rabbis had done, shema yachzor l'suroi, that he might go back to his old ways because of the money issue, which is like, what do you mean? Because I'm Jewish, I lost this whole thing, I can't believe it, so becoming a Jew would be a good thing. He's all upset, and he leaves Judaism so that he could take that 50% of the inheritance. So because of that, the rabbis made it rabbinically, he does get inheritance, because really in now a Jewish law, he's already considered for all practical purposes a Jew, and he cannot go back to idol worship. So to prevent him from doing that, they made rabbinically that he does get inheritance. So again, it's a rabbinic law. Tanam Hoch is similar to Nabraisam that says, when did we say that the Jewish convert, the convert could make this swap with the non-Jewish brother? That, again, before it comes to his rishus, before he takes it, that's kisha yarshu. That's when it's regards to the laws of inheritance, where again, as we explained, that's only rabbinic, but biblically, it really doesn't have any share in it. But if they were partners, then it's forbidden, because then they all have 50% shares, and then you're going to be switching it. Even if you didn't take it yet, you're going to be having hana from yisur hana, which is forbidden. So therefore, that proves the point, because by shutfis, biblically, you're an owner in that. Yerusha, where the convert from a non-Jewish father, is only rabbinic, so before you take it, you didn't have any rights in it, therefore you can make the swap and the switch beforehand, because it's only rabbinic. Another halacha, evik achavim es hager, regarding a non-Jew inheriting from his father who had converted, who was a ger, or viger es hager, let's say a father and his son both convert, so the halacha is, ein olemi divitayr v'olemi divisayfim. There's no biblical inheritance, and there's no rabbinic inheritance, meaning there we didn't have the concern to make a rabbinic law, because we don't care about a non-Jew not inheriting from his father who's a convert, and neither by a convert from his father a convert, because they're old converts, so it's not going to say, I'm going to go back to my old ways. There the halach is, he doesn't get any inheritance whatsoever. That's not, which they explain that this is a brisa that says, loivam mois min hagerish niskeru ban of ima. The halach is, if a person borrows money from a convert who his children have converted with him, the halacha is lo yachzor labanav. If the father, the lender passed away, the person doesn't have to return it to the sons, because as we explained, there's no yerusha for the ger from his father a ger. And actually vim hichzer, and if he gives it back to the son, ein ruach hacham noichemenu. The spirit of the sages don't derive any pleasure from that, from what this person is doing. In other words, they don't give him any thanks, because you didn't have to do it. The halacha does not require, not biblically, not rabbinically, to pay back, although he lent you money, to his inheritors, because according to law, both biblical and rabbinic, the children are not inheriting their father. Now, on this the Gemara asked, but Vatanya, and here it's actually a Mishnah, Masechta Shviyas, that says, Ruach Chacham Noichemen, it says that the spirit of the sages are happy with this person who's paying up. So what is it? When there's a ger who has children gerim and he passed away, are they happy when you pay up the children, or are they not? So the Gemara says, Likash, it's not a difficulty. Kan, Shairasa v'leidasa shleibikdusha. The first, the Bryce that we quoted, was talking about where the conception and the birth of the child was all in when they were non-Jewish. So meaning when the child converted with the father, they were full-fledged non-Jews. There, you don't have to, because they're totally like cut and Chanel dummy. However, as we continue on top of it, Chesem and Aleph, but Vikan, the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, is Shairasa Shalei Bikdusha Veleidasa Bikdusha. Although the conception of the child was when they were still non-Jewish, but they converted when the woman was pregnant, and therefore he was born as a Jew, there, since he was born as a Jew, he could get confused with a full-fledged Jew, and therefore that's where it's going to be Ruach HaCham Noichemenu. The sages are going to be happy if you pay up the children, because it could be easily confused. People are going to think that when you bow, you don't have to pay up children, which is not the case, because they're going to think, what it means, a full-fledged Jew. I remember his birth. I was by his birth milah. I was there. I remember that the parents were Jewish. So since it could be confused, so there it's Ruach HaCham Noichemenu. But if the child was 7 and the father was 32 and then they converted, then everyone knows that he was a non-Jew and they both converted, there's no halacha requirement, there it's in Ruach HaCham Noichemenu. Now, Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Eivik Echavim Yerishes Ava Devat Taira, he says the same halacha we mentioned before from Rava, that a non-Jew will biblically inherit his father, but he brings a different pasuk. Now, still, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, Ki Yerusha La'esav, because inheritance for Esav, Nesateis Har Seir, I have given Mount Seir. So you see that although Esav is not considered a Yisrael, rather a non-Jew, he's an idol worshiper, still there's inheritance. So you see that there's inheritance for his descendants. So now the Gemara asks, "B'dilmi Yisrael Mumershani?" Maybe a rebellious Jew is different, because on some level Esav should have been from the Jewish people, but he was a Mumer, he was rebellious. So maybe that's different. Maybe that's why his descendants have inheritance, but a full-fledged non-Jew maybe doesn't. So El Mahacher, rather, the Rabbi Yechanan, Rav Chiya bar Avin brings a different source from a later pasuk that says, "Ki levnei loit nasati es er Yerusha." that for the children of light I have given air as a Yerusha, says the Torah, where we see that although light is definitely a non-Jew, still there's inheritance for his descendants. We see that a non-Jew, there's inheritance even according to biblical law. Now the Gemara asks, according to either interpretation now, Rav Chibar of in my time alayma karabu, why didn't he say like Rabbah, who, as we taught before, he learns that out from Bechishav Imkainehu, which tells us that, oh, that as an Eved Ivri, you only have to work and calculate how much is left for your master, but not your inheritors of your master, which obviously there's inheritors according to biblical law. So that he says, no, Miksiv, does the pasuk say Bechishav Imkainehu v'loy Mirshikainehu? Does it say that he has to calculate with his inheritors and not with with his purchaser, not with the inheritors of the purchasers? Who says that in biblical law that there are inheritors of a purchaser? Maybe actually this is the source of the halacha that you see doesn't have to calculate with the inheritors because there is no inheritance in biblical law according for a non-Jew. So therefore he says that wouldn't be a valid proof. Now, so the Gemara says, "V'rava my time alav makarev chibar oven." Why didn't he say like chibar oven from this pasuk of Loit, who's a non-Jew, and yet we see the Torah says that there's inheritance for his descendants? And that he says, no, Mishum Kavaydi Avram Shani, we could say, because of the honor of Avram, who is the relative of Light, although Light is a non-Jew and should not have Yerusha, but for the respect that Hashem had for Avram Avinu, for his relatives, even though they're not Jewish, he made them have Yerusha, and maybe that's why there was Yerusha, but maybe for a regular non-Jew there wouldn't be. That's why he brings his pasuk of Echishem Kineyu, below Mirsha Kineyu, again, two different sources for what's the halacha, that biblically we see that a non-Jew inherits his father according to biblical halacha.